This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, let's dig into something here. We're going to talk a little bit about the world of make-believe. Looks like they're sending law enforcement after their political opponents again. More war, culture war stuff in the corporate America realm. But I'm going to continue on something I was talking about at the end of last hour. In case you're just now joining us, some guy had emailed in and he said, did you see Mayor Pete, Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg, on TV? He was getting pressed on immigration and he started shouting and speaking loudly and changing the subject. And I was talking about how the communist is a robot. He doesn't have any depth. That's why liberal Aunt Peggy, she will either call you names or she will lie or she will change the subject when you start trying to press her on things. Because she doesn't have any depth, and she doesn't want any depth. She wants to be told what to believe, what to think. That's what she wants. So I was talking about this party I was at last weekend. It was just a neighborhood party, and some guy's father-in-law, some commie from Canada, was there. And this guy, like I said, I'd never met him before, but he was very famous for being loud about his dirtball commie politics. I happened to be there that night. Everyone got really excited because they thought they were going to witness Thunderdome when the guy walked in. And of course, the guy couldn't help himself. He had to give me a shot. He had to come try. And it was, of course, about guns. And I was all smiles. I didn't care. And he sits down. And right off the bat, he says, explain to me why you need an AR-15. Explain it to me. And I could have gone, obviously, a million different routes with that. I could have talked about the rights. I could have talked about the truth, which was, well, it's in case the American people have to rise up and fight the government. That's why the Second Amendment's there. But I didn't go any of those routes. And I said, listen, I'll make up his name. This is not his real name. Bob. We'll call him Bob for the purpose of our conversation. I said, Bob, just last week, a Venezuelan gang, four dudes, kicked in the door at midnight of a home 2 miles from my house, tied everybody up, knifed the husband, stole all the valuables, and left. Do you think an AR-15 would be pretty handy if a Venezuelan gang kicks in my home tonight to harm my wife? And I pointed to her. She was at the party. I said, do you think if a Venezuelan gang kicks in the door tonight, do you think I should have an AR-15 to defend her? And you know what he said in response to that? I don't want to start hearing this talk about illegal immigration. You know, illegals don't even commit crimes to the same level that American citizens do. And this is what you can't let liberal Aunt Peggy do. You heard what he just did, didn't you? He just changed the subject. So I said, nope, 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 Bob, nope, 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 nope. He's all, what? I said, Bob, you're not going to change the subject. Let's stay focused. You just asked me why I need an AR-15. I explained it to you, and you tried to change the subject to make it about illegal immigration and crime statistics and stuff like that. You just tried to change the subject. So let's stay focused. Well, I mean, it's just that the right loves to talk about illegals. I said, Bob, you're still doing it. You're still doing it. You asked me the question, and this may be difficult. I should pause on this conversation for a moment. This will be difficult for people who are a little less, more shy in person, less assertive. I'm naturally rude anyway, so this comes natural for me. But you can do this very politely. And this went on and on and on for about 5 minutes. We tried to go round and round. And eventually, this is what I got out of Bob. Eventually, I got, well, look, I don't care if you have one. There's just too many of them out there. Of course, he ended up breaking down. Why did he break down? Because I didn't allow him to call me names, shout, change the subject or lie. You cannot allow liberal Aunt Peggy to call you names, change the subject, or lie. And if she does any of those three things with you, stay calm and drag her back to the original point, because this is how I want you to think about the original point. I want you to think about it like a flame for her. The flame of truth. What, Chris? That sounds like a fantasy novel or something from a movie. In fact, I think I'm the first one to ever say that. I want you to think about it like a flame, right? You're trying to drag liberal Aunt Peggy into the flame so you can burn all the lies off of her. You're trying to introduce her to truth. She is going to react to that exactly like a human being dragged into a fire. She's going to do everything she can possibly do to avoid being confronted with the truth, to avoid having to hear the truth. Because remember, liberal Aunt Peggy doesn't want to be free. That's the part you must get through your head. She doesn't want what you want. You want to be free. You want to be prosperous. You want to be left alone. You want to make your own decisions in life. Liberal Aunt Peggy doesn't want any of those things. Liberal Aunt Peggy wants to be told what to think, what to wear, where to go. She just wants to be a slave. That's what she wants. Drag her into the flame of truth. Do not let her run away. Do not let her pull back. Change the subject. Nazi! Nope, Peggy, we're not talking about that. You asked me about AR-15s, and we're going to sit here right now, and you're going to discuss AR-15s. Don't let them get away with it, all right? That's why they do what they do. It's a tactic, and you should understand, it's a tactic that they've learned over the years. And it's a tactic they've learned because it's been effective on people on the right. It's part of the reason they do these things is they learn how to use your values against you in this way. I want you to imagine you and I are having a conversation. We're having an argument about something. Who knows? It's about nachos. Who makes the best nachos? You and me. You could see us arguing about that. So we're arguing about who to have the best nachos. Who had the best nachos? And at some point in time, maybe I'm losing the conversation, which of course is the menu whisperer. I would not. I would win. But let's say I was losing that conversation. What if I just out of the blue and said to you, hey, you know what? I feel like you're a pedophile. You know what? Do you touch kids? Are you a pedophile? Let me ask you, whatever happened from there, whether you walked away, punched me in the face, threw a drink on me, whatever it may be, would you want to continue having the debate about nachos? Or would you feel that, I think we're going to shift and talk about this pedophile thing you just accused me of? You would want to change the subject, wouldn't you? You would want to change the subject from a debate where you're winning. That's why they call you Nazi. That's why it's all Nazi white supremacist, Nazi white supremacist, Nazi white supremacist. It's a tactic. It's something they've studied. It's something they've learned over the years. When you start getting pressed on something, you learn this as a dirtball commie early on. When you start getting pressed on something, you lob an accusation at the person who's pressing you, an accusation they will feel obligated to address. So if I'm sitting there debating gun rights with a dirty commie, and at some point in time he says, yeah, that figures, that's what a Nazi like you would say, it would be my instinct, because I'm not a Nazi, to change the subject and begin addressing that. What? Nazi? Huh? And then I would try to go into some, the right loves to do this all the time, go into some lame explanation. Well, I can't be a Nazi. My uncle's Jewish or something. It would be something lame and pathetic. As soon as you start addressing the accusation he just lobbed at you, you've lost the argument and he won. When he calls you a Nazi, when you choose to make that the point of discussion instead of the debate you were just winning, you lost. And he knows that. He has used these tactics, these techniques, because they work on your value system. It's the same reason they get loud. When you press liberal Aunt Peggy at Thanksgiving and you're having a family discussion, and maybe you're even having a quiet discussion about what illegal immigration, that's always in the news now. Maybe you're having a discussion with her about it and you start maybe pressing her on it, bringing up facts, something like that. There's a reason you go from having a discussion like this to, oh my gosh, you right wingers are all the, and you're at Thanksgiving and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, why is she shouting? I'm uncomfortable. You're disrupting dinner. Okay, now I wish I hadn't brought this up. My niece is listening. Oh, this is getting uncomfortable. That's why she does it. It's another tactic they use. Get really loud, get really inappropriate. So you will stop arguing with her, you'll stop winning the debate, and you will instead just want all the noise to stop. It's a tactic they use. Don't allow them to do that. Don't let liberal Aunt Peggy get away with that. All right? All right. Let's get to some emails. Budget shortfalls, men feeling pressured to act manly, so many other things. You know what's not manly? Complaining about all the little aches and pains you get. That's not manly at all. Now, did I say you have to just live with aches and pains? No, of course you don't. Why don't you just take Relief Factor? Then you'll look more manly because you complain less, but you're actually complaining less, not because you got tougher, because the pain's gone. That's what Relief Factor does for you. Your neck hurts, your back hurts, oh, my hands, my feet, my muscles, but you don't have to live with pain. Help your body fight the inflammation inside of it naturally with a drug-free solution. That's what Relief Factor is. Drug-free. Help your body fight that inflammation naturally. And they have a 3-week quick start kit, so you don't have to take my word for it. For $19.95, you can go buy a 3-week quick start kit and experience being pain-free for yourself. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. All right? Emails and men feeling pressured to act manly. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. That reminds me, remember that Air Force guy who set himself on fire last week? That was wild. I know, I had forgotten it. You know, what does it say about the news cycle of this country that some dude dumped fuel all over himself in front of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. in full Air Force uniform and lit himself on fire? And I forgot like 24 hours later. I'm like, oh man, that seems like ancient history. Gosh, that's terrible. You know what else is terrible? That John Kerry speaks publicly. Gosh, this stuff is so embarrassing.
Russia has the ability to be able to make enormous changes if it really wanted to. I mean, if Russia has the ability to wage a war illegally and invade another country, they ought to be able to find the effort to be responsible in the climate issue. Unfortunately, because of the actions that Russia took in an unprovoked illegal war against another nation, we have not been engaged in discussions with Russia, sadly.
500,000 young men have died. They've been blown up, shot. It's been unbelievably terrible for Ukraine mostly, but for young Russian soldiers too, dying in droves. And John Kerry looks at all that death and all that carnage, and he's just upset that Vladimir Putin doesn't want to cut his emissions. These people are nut jobs, man. Total. And you know, speaking of nut jobs and the world of make-believe these people live in, I again want to remind everyone as I play this, this is CNN's Van Jones just talking crazy talk. The reason your liberal Aunt Peggy believes the most insane things is because she watches television and she listens when these people talk, and that's why these people intentionally build a world of lies. Listen to Van Jones, warning what's going to happen if Trump takes power.
And Van, what does President Biden need to do at this point to earn those Nikki Haley supporters, bring them into the fold? We saw the Biden campaign putting out a statement from President Biden almost immediately after Nikki Haley walked off that stage in South Carolina. What do you think?
I think he needs to talk to her donors and her supporters and say, if you want to, a year from now, watch Russian tanks rolling through Europe, then endorse Donald Trump and get on that bandwagon. But understand, you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to see horror across Europe, and you're going to have American soldiers, sailors, having to go over there and do something that we could have done with dollars, we're going to have to do with blood.
None of that is even close to true. Russia can't even, with their huge Russian army, Russia can't even take Ukraine. They've took portions of it that they want, but Russia ended up getting stalemated after they took what they wanted in Ukraine. Russia's not going to invade Europe, nor do they even have the ability to. And every Republican and Democrat, many Republicans have said this as well, has lied directly to your face when they've told you that. It is an idiotic, ridiculous thing that, again, Russia doesn't even have the desire or the ability to invade Europe. And yet your liberal Aunt Peggy will repeat that lie. And in her mind, he's telling the truth. In her mind, voting against Donald Trump is her saving the world. And that's why these people speak like that. That's why these people build the world of make-believe for liberal Aunt Peggy. And that they're going to lean into that this year. Tomorrow night is Joe Biden's State of the Union, and he's going to do that heavily. I mean, there's a little bit of his last
one. Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority.
He's going to be so vicious and nasty describing Republicans tomorrow. Why is he doing that? Well, one, because Joe Biden has always been vicious and nasty. The kind old nice old Uncle Joe was always a myth that the media created. But two, he's going to be so nasty and he's going to lie so much about Republicans tomorrow night because he wants liberal Aunt Peggy not thinking about the open border, not thinking about the fact she can barely afford her Xanax prescription anymore. He wants liberal Aunt Peggy only thinking about how evil Republicans are and how dire the situation's going to be if she doesn't crawl across a mile of broken glass to vote against them. You're going to hear that's going to be 90% of the Biden campaign because they don't have anything to campaign on. That's why they talk. We talked about this last night. That's why they talk all the time about stupid, tiny things that people don't care about. Junk fees. He's been addressing junk fees for the longest time. But why are you addressing junk fees? Because you can't address any of the big things. So you try to focus on a little thing like junk fees. They're going to try to turn the eyes of every Democrat in America over the coming months. They're going to try to turn all those eyes on the Republicans, on MAGA, on Trump, and they're simply going to attempt to scare them into staying in the Democrat tent for the election. Now, the question always is, will it work? Will that work? And my answer is, I don't know. Time will tell. Look, let's be honest. Oftentimes, it does work. Getting your side, who might not love you, to vote against the other side is a tactic that has worked for both sides many, 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 many times. Hey, I know you're mad at me and I kind of suck, but that guy over there is the devil. Will it work? Maybe. Maybe not. It's all a matter of numbers, right? Remember, these elections are close. All right, some emails. Let's talk about the budget shortfall and the man thing. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll talk about the budget shortfalls and men feeling pressure to ask manly. Producer Michael asked me during the break, we were talking a little bit about Russia, Ukraine, and stuff like that, about Russian tanks. Because, of course, Van Jones warns that if you don't support Joe Biden, Russian tanks will invade Europe.
And Van, what does President Biden need to do at this point to earn those Nikki Haley supporters, bring them into the fold? We saw the Biden campaign putting out a statement from President Biden almost immediately after Nikki Haley walked off that stage in South Carolina. What do you think?
I think he needs to talk to her donors and her supporters and say, if you want to, a year from now, watch Russian tanks rolling through Europe, then, you know, endorse Donald Trump.
Okay. All right. So Michael was asking me about the usefulness of tanks. And I need to disclose something before I get into this. I know some things about military matters, mainly from books I've read. And yeah, I did, you know, 4 years as a very average Marine, a 4-year infantry grunt. So I have some hands-on experience with it. But I read a lot of books, and I'm not unknowledgeable of it. But there are going to be things we're about to discuss that I can't see because I can't actually see the future. You know, I'll explain. We'll come back to tanks. Just hang on with me. Before World War II, the aircraft carrier wasn't a thing for obvious reasons. People weren't really flying. You know, until World War I, they started figuring out we can use air power, but the aircraft carrier wasn't a thing. So what was a big thing? What was the scariest thing on the seas back then? A battleship. And is there anything freaking cooler than a battleship? Just a gigantic floating murder box full of big guns and stuff. Isn't a battleship sick? And I forget the name of it. I want to say it, the name of it is the Prince of Wales, the HMS Prince of Wales. But there's a famous story. There are many famous stories like this where the British had these advanced ships. Obviously, Britain's always had the best navy in the world. And they found themselves under attack in the Pacific from Japanese air power, not Japanese ships. And what they discovered, what the world really began to discover was, hey, you know that battleship? And this is not at all an accurate number, all right? So don't take this as an accurate number. But hey, you know that battleship that cost you $100 million? Yeah, we just sent it to the bottom of the ocean with about $5 million worth of planes. So why are you still building battleships? And there are a million military stories like that. And I used World War II, but honestly, we could go on and on and on with endless examples of military technology. Eventually, even the most advanced military technology eventually becomes not just obsolete, it becomes dangerous to use once an effective countermeasure is in place. So that battleship, if you had, let's say you had three of them, right? Three battleships in the year 1920,
Brother, you can storm into any port in the world and mess up anybody in the world, and you best not mess with me. I've got three battleships. Fast forward to the year 1942, and you bring your three battleships into my port? If you don't have air power supporting you, it's not that you just can't defeat me. I'm going to kill you. I'll send all three of them to the bottom of the ocean. All three of them with some planes. I will. I'll send in torpedo bombers and dive bombers and various other things, and I'm going to send your ships to the bottom of the ocean. They don't just become obsolete. They become dangerous to use. And so that brings me to a, it was a really good question from Michael. What do we even use tanks for? Well, I'm not going to sit here and say tanks are obsolete. Again, there are more advanced military minds listening right now. There are. I'm not going to say they're obsolete. But as this drone warfare stuff, as it ramps up, there are going to be many, 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 many traditional things we have used that will become obsolete. And tanks, in fact, armored vehicles at all, any kind of armor, might be going that way. And a lot of it just becomes, you know, about cost. If I'm going to spend, and this is, again, not an accurate number, I'm just throwing out random numbers to make it easy to understand. If I'm going to spend $50 million building an Abrams tank, and that Abrams tank can be defeated with $50 worth of materials, the drone I bought from Best Buy and attached some HE to it, HE that can penetrate, maybe some kind of thermite, over for the Abrams tank. Then what I've done is, not only did I make the Abrams tank way too expensive to make, I'm taking up time, I'm taking up resources I shouldn't even bother because it can be taken out with a countermeasure really easily. I've not only made it too expensive to make and obsolete, honestly, I'm cheating the troops I will put in it. And we don't like to think like that because we like to think time stands still. And what's super advanced and awesome today will, of course, I mean, it'll be improved upon, but it'll have some relevance tomorrow. No, we might very well be going into an era of warfare. Again, I don't know this. I'm really not an oracle, and I'm not a military expert. It's know a little bit about a little bit. We might be going into an era where all armor is really obsolete unless it comes with a more effective drone negating technology than exists right now. That's not something that exists right now. We can't take our whole fleet of armor and put, you know, a magic little box in it and drones will just bounce off this force field as they come in. It's not a thing that exists yet. In smaller ways, I'm not going to go into the details of it. In smaller ways, kind of, but it doesn't exist that way for our armor. So we might be going into an era of warfare where the next major war, it's just going to kind of be a drone war. It might be. And look, that won't last forever either. There will eventually be such effective countermeasures for that that it will negate that. But look, to this day, battleships haven't really ever made a comeback. It's not that there aren't battleships. There are. But why are you spending the money using the materials on something of that size when you can send a jet after it, or you would send more than one hypersonic missile planted in the right spot, battleship goes bye-bye with one missile. I had a guy tell me, it doesn't matter. He's high brass for the military. But I had a guy tell me that he said, Jesse, I'll tell you something. And it breaks my heart because he was a Navy guy. He's a Navy guy. And you know, as much as I love to give him crap, I love the Navy. It's really the essential branch for a country like ours. You probably could secure the United States of America with only a powerful Navy, as long as you had, you know, a Marine element, an infantry element to it. And so he's a Navy guy. And he said, Jesse, I'll tell you something. It's going to sound insane and you're going to tell me I'm nuts, but I believe it. And I can see a future where this is the case. And I said, okay, what is this? Because he's a real even keel guy. And he told me, he said, Jesse, I'm telling you right now, we are entering an era, we're going to enter an era where all navies become virtually obsolete because of the missile countermeasures for them. And remember, these like our Navy ships have this incredible technology I'm not going to go into where we can slap down these missiles and they have these defense systems. And so I, of course, brought that up. And he said, Jesse, do you really believe that they're not developing any technology to defeat that? He said, eventually it's just going to be, why bother putting a ship out there when I can just boop, press a button, missile gone, your ship's gone and all the sailors on it. He said, navies themselves may become obsolete in the future. It's amazing, isn't it? And I'm not predicting that. I'm just telling you, military technology, countermeasures, that's the way that goes. Wow. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Interesting bit of business there. You have a military guy in your life? Call him or text him about it. Ask him what he has to say about it with an open mind. Make sure you're calling on your Pure Talk phone, though, because you don't want to patronize dirtball commie companies. You see this out of North Face? North Face, that company that makes all the winter gear. Customers have to pass a DEI course where you can learn how evil and racist you are. If you complete their DEI course, they'll give you a 20% discount. That's how much this evil has infected the corporate world. You think that's bad? Go look at Verizon. Go look at T-Mobile. AT&T. When you pay your cell phone bill every month to those companies, that's what you fund. On Pure Talk, with Pure Talk, you don't fund any of that garbage. They love you. CEO is a veteran, fought for this country. Customer service, all based in America. Keep your phone, keep your number, or get a brand new Samsung 5G smartphone free. All you have to do is pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we will be back tomorrow. Don't worry. Yes, I know tomorrow is Joe Biden's State of the Union, and that'll be extremely riveting. Remember, I'll be covering that on the First TV. As soon as the show ends, the State of the Union begins. We'll play it on the First TV, and then I'll do an hour-long show, TV show after that, kind of recapping it, all that stuff. You want to email me, you can, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Oracle, with looming budget shortfalls, how long till they come for our retirement money? I've had this question before. Are they going to come for my retirement? Are they going to come for my retirement? Man, I don't think I want to say that. Now, don't get me wrong. I could see these evil people doing it. I don't think we're at the point you need to be yanking all your money out of your retirement and socking it away somewhere, burying your money in cash in a mayonnaise jar. Don't do that. Now, I'm not telling you these people don't want to. I mean, these are the worst people in the world. These people want to. I don't know that they're going to. Just, again, you don't have to stress. Or I shouldn't say you don't have to stress. You don't do any good stressing yourself to death about all these various things. Make little adjustments, little preparations, making sure you can get by for when the bumps come, and then let it go and forget about it. You worried about your retirement? I already told you. Get some gold in there, all right? Just remember, the best thing you can do to make preparations right now, the best thing beyond the gold and the ammo and the everything else, the best thing you can do is keep your mind healthy, your family healthy, your body healthy. Look, we need to get in shape, all of us, better shape. I do too, better shape. That's part of it too. Look, I tell you about chalk too. That's part of it too. Are your levels ready? Are they where they need to be? When's the last time you got your T levels checked, fellas? It was bad, wasn't it? Have you even done it? Are you down a lot? Running out of gas a little earlier in the day? Maybe some natural herbal supplements are exactly what the doctor ordered, except your doctor won't. So get a hold of Chalk, chok.com. Start digging into natural herbal supplements on top of the water, on top of the workouts. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse goes perfectly with this article. Half of men feel pressured to act manly. Well, yes, that's a good thing. Why do people act like pressure is a bad thing? If you're a dude, you should feel pressured to act manly, and that's why you need to get on a male vitality stack. Seriously. Listen, fellas, everyone has a different upbringing. Everyone has a different background. And I understand that in America today, not none, but a lower percentage of men were raised with strong fathers in the home. And a lot of dudes now, they grew up without that, and they're craving that. Like, every dude wants to be a man's man, and I'm certainly not some ultimate man's man to be scolding you on it, but every dude wants to be a man's man. There's nothing wrong with wanting that and figuring out a way to make that happen. So if your background wasn't what you want it to be, maybe you're a little softer than you'd like to be, don't worry. Don't worry. The desire for more, the desire to be better, is a good thing. So smile about that, all right? Also, smile about this. These liberal white women spend so much time talking only to each other that they're getting to the point they really don't hide their disdain for normal Americans very well. This was MSNBC last night. Jen Psaki, Rachel Maddow, the works.
They're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No, which is why Trump killed the immigration bill.
Correct.
That's why. And because otherwise he can't run against the other and brown people and people who don't look like him, like his supporters, his base of supporters coming across the border and scaring people and killing people or whatever he's threatening out there.
And every election cycle, when there's, particularly when there's a Democratic incumbent, we get reminded about the borders and the borders become a thing again. And then if there's a Republican in office, we don't think about them anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the deficit and the border. Like you make these things an issue, you make them into boogeymen, you make them into something that grabs you from under the bed at night as soon as you wake up, as long as there's a Democratic incumbent to blame on it.
I'm not sure the Democrats understand how badly immigration is for them. The topic of illegal immigration, it might be their doom in 2024. And these liberal white women get on these shows, plus Joyanne Reed, and they just laugh about it. Oh, it's so stupid. What a boogeyman. Golly. Sometimes being trapped in that bubble is a dangerous thing.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
L.A. District Attorney George Gascon sent cops to the home of a whistleblower. Oh, who does he think he is? Merrick Garland? Bail fail. Study shows that repeat crime increased in New York because of justice reforms. I love how they put increased in capital letters. That's the New York Post. Oh, really? You mean crime went up when you started letting criminals out of jail? No way. Knock me over with a feather. Campaign funds. Biden and the DNC have $80 million. Trump and the RNC have $39 million. This is that unsexy thing that we've talked about before on the show. That might be a problem. We have a money problem right now in the GOP. Our money, we don't have as much of it. Our money's going to other things that don't involve campaigning. And I do have money concerns. I hope we don't have to do an after action report after November and discuss how bad our money situation was. Cyber attack paralyzes the largest U.S. healthcare payment system. Oh, good. Little things like that. I try not to think about all the cyber attacks and all the things that are out there that are connected to the internet and how much damage these people can do by hooking up to those things and attacking those things. Don't worry about it. It's just the hospital system. Katie Porker will be out of Congress as Schiff and Garvey face off in California's U.S. Senate race. That's too bad about Katie Porker. And I'll tell you this, Adam Schiff's going to be a senator. Oh, isn't that the worst? But listen, we yelled and screamed about Adam Schiff and why he's such a lying dirtball and why is he always on TV lying about Trump and attacking and impeachments. Well, why? Well, say hello to Senator Adam Schiff. That's why. You want to talk about paying your system membership dues? Adam Schiff paid his dues and he's going to be rewarded with a seat in the United States Senate. Senator Bob Menendez
hit with new conspiracy and obstruction of justice charges. I don't have anything else to say except this story continues to make me laugh. Gold bars under the bed. What a New Jersey story. All right. We'll do it again tomorrow. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.